The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, join Beth Moore for Wednesdays in the Word.
So she stands there and she does this action. Tap, tap, tap. Then she tries the other foot. Tap, tap. Then she does a little tap, tap, tap. Then she starts to go back. Tap, tap. Before our very eyes, the child finally,
learning to dance in the desert when we get excited about what God is doing.
Thank all of you. Thank you very much. And welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. I'm holding a very beautifully bound, leather-bound Bible. It's a great study Bible. I've had a birthday. I'm a little older. And it's got large print. And I actually told my staff, I said, these Bibles, these study Bibles, we've been, you know, giving people that they really like them. But they, you know, they had to get a magnifying glass. And I don't want to do that anymore. So we finally got to some that are really easy to read. This is beautiful, and I want you to know that something great has happened. It's related to our mission feeding. The largest matching gift, challenge gift we've ever had has been offered to us right now to double what we're doing to help some desperately needy children. So I want to make you aware of that, and I want you to know we want to send you the Bible. We want to send all things new, and it's a devotional guide. Beth Moore is teaching. This is Wednesdays in the Word. Beth is teaching on dancing in the desert. Now, that may get your attention, but you'll understand what happened with Israel, and you'll understand a lot more about that as you listen to Beth Moore. Would you welcome her? Here's Beth.
We come all these sessions for me to ask you one question. What was she doing with a tambourine? I mean, like, they had to leave with haste. Remember that they had to get up and go all of a sudden, like, I mean, she's got one. She's got right beside her, just ready to grab, just ready to grab. What was she doing in advance with a tambourine? Not only her, but all the women. What in the world was everybody doing with the tambourine? And I just want to just suggest to you that I think there are times when there are people of enough faith that they go, oh, I'm going to need my tambourine. I'm going to need my tambourine. Oh, yeah, I am. Oh, yeah, I am. I'm going to be packing some clothes because we got a dangerous enemy after us. I'm going to need my tambourine. This whole city has gone absolutely crazy. Nothing but death in this city. I'm going to need my tambourine. The enemy is closing in on us. Where is my tambourine? Anybody? Anybody? It's been years, decades since I've seen a miracle. Where did I put that tambourine? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Faith takes a tambourine on a journey. Faith always says, there's a place for my tambourine. Are you on a brand new journey? Where is your tambourine? Gentlemen, where is the drum? Are you anticipating a celebration? Are you anticipating deliverance? Get your tambourine out. Get that drum out. Get ready to praise Him with everything you've got. You tell Him you cannot wait. Come on, Lord. Lord, in advance. I'm so sure it's coming. Then I'm going to play it in advance. I want you to hear it in advance because I'm coming with my tambourine because praise is coming. Yeah. Praise is coming. Yeah. I'm asking anybody today, do you believe praise is coming? Yeah. I know my God is going to be faithful. I know my God is going to be faithful. I want to tell you something. It is time for us to break out of our boredom and exhilarate our souls in a God who is faithful, to cry out to Him, to sing, to just get in the car and sing. We've gotten so sophisticated spiritually. When was the last time you just like kicked it up a little bit? Turn up that music. Turn up that music. I got to tell you something. Our little Annabeth is just about to turn 5. And I got to tell you something that just brings me so much joy. That's my granddaughter. My grandson is just about to turn 8. They have birthdays that are right on top of one another. And gosh, I love them so much that I have no words. I've said so many times, I'm just like drunk over them. I'm just drunk over them. It's like I've had something that has my head spinning. I love them so very much. But she has chosen to have her birthday party. She calls me Bibby, B-I-B-B-Y. And she's chosen to have her birthday party at Bibby's house. Her friends are coming over. It's like Chuck E. Cheese to her. I love it. I don't know how long that baby will ever want to have her birthday party at her grandmother's house, but come on, bring it. I'm willing. At my age, I'm going to have me a tambourine. We're going to put some music on, and we are going to dance. But she was born to dance. She truly was. She truly was. Just in the way she even moves her little hands, she just loves it. And she's been in ballet ever since she was 3. But when she turned 4, she got to also add on tap. But she did not know anything about tap. She didn't know how it worked. She had not seen anybody else do it. It's just that Amanda told her, said, you're going to have not only your ballet class, but we're going to also put you in tap class. Well, what is tap class? Well, I'm going to show you. So Amanda went and bought her some shoes. And when Amanda came home with the shoes, she was right there at the front door. And I love this because that told me how anxious my daughter was to give her daughter some tap shoes. So she has them in a little box. She opens them up. For any of us that have any memory of this, I took a tap and ballet as a child, so I can remember it perfectly. Black, you know, that patent leather, shiny, shiny, sometimes a little bow on it that you tie, or sometimes it just is a little Mary Jane with a little buckle on it, but they're so darling, and they have taps on the underside of the shoe. And so she, there was hardly a word said. She just told Annabeth, sit down, let me put these on you. She put them on Annabeth, and then she just watched, and I wish so much that I could bring it to you, but we just don't have peace about putting it out there for anybody to see. But the most precious thing happened, and she was in her little leotard and tights at the time. Most precious thing, that baby put on those tap shoes, and Amanda just held her phone, pushed record, and watched. And Annabeth went over to the hard part. Once she heard herself clicking, she thought, oh, this is gonna be good. Yeah, this could be good. So she stands there and she does this action. Tap, tap, tap. Then she tries the other foot. Tap, tap. And then she does a little tap, tap, tap. Then she starts to go back. Tap, tap. Before our very eyes, the child finally, I mean, she just all over. I wish I could show you without throwing my microphone off, which I would have a mind to do, because I mean, the child just began to dance. And I say to you, even if it begins right here, come on. I'm saying it to you too. When was the last time you got excited about him? Who is like you, oh God? Who has locked you among the gods? When was the last time he did something for you that just caused you to raise up your voice and go, who are you that you can do such a thing? Who am I that you would look upon me the way that you do with such love and affection and anoint me with your power? Who am I that you would do such a thing for me? When faith takes a journey, it packs a tambourine. I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting too old to care about people thinking I'm crazy. I am. It's unfortunate for people because it's given me a freedom. And unfortunately, I may be becoming what they think is their caricature. But you know what? I don't care. Because I tell you what I want. I want for God to go, she is so fun to do something for. It just makes me want to do something all the time. She's so fun. I want him to lean over to Jesus and go, watch this. Watch this. I'm going to throw this at her, and I want you to watch what she's going to do. I want them to slap their knees laughing over it. I want them to love it. I want them to say, I can elicit such a reaction out of that girl right there. She will get so excited that, you know what, I'm going to do it next time again. Why not? Go ahead. You want to be bored? Go ahead. I'm not going to be bored with this. is listen, we may be bored with religion, but we are not bored with Jesus. Yeah. We're not this is a miracle worker here. It's a God that parts seas, that draws up the land. This is a God who walks on the top of seas and says to his disciple, come on out. Walk with me. Walk with me. I tell you, it starts with just opening our mouths with praise. Maybe you feel like you can't carry a tune. Maybe you feel like you don't have any rhythm. I mean, I'm going to say who cares, because if you're in your den, I mean, come on. Come on. It starts with opening our mouth and saying it. I want to tell you something as we close. I want to tell you a story, something that happened over the last year I've thought a lot about. It's not anything dramatic. It just had an impression on me. When something happens that you think, you know, have you ever had a what's missing moment? Like you're in a situation and you were expecting this and that didn't happen and you think, what's missing here? And so I was in another city and I was ministering through a Living Proof Live, and I very much looked forward to it. And they were the sweetest people ever. I'd been in that area before and could not wait to go back and was anticipating a mighty move of God. That part is real important for you to know, because I truly was. And he did work among us. But that first night I thought, what is off here? And I couldn't figure it out. And I absolutely loved the subject matter that we had, and I felt very passionate about it. But, you know, I've told you before that here in the studio audience that you're so important to the mix, because part of my excitement is going to come from you, and part of our excitement, yeah, this can make you excited, because this can be a group thing. And so, I mean, I just really given everything I got, and the word was coming forth, but just something was not happening. It was not happening. And so I was thinking, this will happen with people who teach or pastors who preach, where you're kind of thinking something like you're going on with it, but you're having this whole conversation with yourself over here. Your spirit's still doing what it needs to do, but your soul's over here going like, okay, whoa. What's happening here? So I was mindful of it. I would not go as far as to say that I was like terribly disappointed. I just was like, something was missing. And so when I got back to my hotel room, I was thinking it the whole way going up on the elevator, and got in my hotel room, and I do the same thing very often when I come in the hotel room door. Even if I didn't feel like it went well, I'd get down on my face and thank God, because I listen, His word carries authority. He sends His word forth and it never returns void. So even if I'm not thrilled, I still am going to get down and go, you did something, because we read your word, Lord. We gave it respect. So I may not have delivered it well. I may not have felt like it went well, but this I know, your word has power. And I know we read your word. And I know we did it with faith. And so there you go. And so I went down and I was just like, okay, went down on my Facebook. And as I was getting up, I had a word come to me, and I realized again, this is why people think, well, she's just so freaky. And this is where people get the caricature, but I don't know what else to tell you, but every now and then a word will just land in me. And the word that just landed in my spirit was mute. And I thought, whoa, that's a very interesting word. And since my mind was nowhere near that word, what does that word mean here? And what had happened in that context? I could not tell that anybody in the room disagreed with me. They were not unhappy with it. They were just smiling, just listening, just as pleasant of faces as you could possibly have. But there is a long way, a lot of space in between disagreeing and agreeing, spiritually speaking. There's this wonderful word in Scripture called making a confession, to confess something. I wonder if you'd turn with me as we close to Romans chapter 10, because I want us to see it in the Scriptures. Most of the time when you see the word confess or confessing or confession, it is a form of this same Greek word that you're going to see here in just a moment translated into English. Romans 10, I want to read verses 8 through 13. I won't need all of those, but because it's the salvation message, I cannot keep from it. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Somebody amen that. Amen. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Thank you, God. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise you, God. Praise you. That word confession and confess comes from that same lexical term, homologeo, homologeo, H-O-M-O, L-O-G-E-O, and that final O is a long O, homologeo. And it is a word to mean that H-O-M-O is going to be together or the same, and the logeo means to say. So it's to say something together, to say something together. When we confess our sins, what we're doing is that we are agreeing with God that that was not his will for us, and we want to receive what is his will for us. We're making agreement with him. But there are times when we agree with one another in our faith about God. That's what they were doing in Exodus chapter 15. When they were proclaiming him, when they were praising him, when there was a song that was written so that they could sing it, it was all of the voices coming together in this agreement of speech. And I realized that that day at that conference, they were not disagreeing, but they were not agreeing. Now, I don't mean that they weren't thinking that that's true. That's true. I don't mean that. There's an agreement in the spirit. I'm going to sit in.
That's right.
I'm going to sit into this. Right. I'm going to lean into this. It's when we say, I want whatever's going on here. I can tell you that I want it. It is what I learned at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, a wonderful, my favorite church on earth, except the one right there in Houston. I love this church so much. Pastor Fred Luter, he's a fabulous, fabulous man of God, ahead of the entire Southern Baptist Convention, such a mighty, mighty man, African-American church. And what I love about it, when I would first go there, I noticed something every single time that intrigued me so much. They took responsibility for their own word. In other words, they didn't. When we went to the car, nobody graded the sermon. Now, surely at some point or another, I've said this to you on Wednesday because this is how much it impacted me. Nobody went, well, that was a good sermon. That was a good. No, no, because they figured it was their responsibility whether or not it was going to be good or they going to get their word. And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, they'd be up on their feet going, I want it, I want it, I want it. I mean, I was up there with them. I was going, oh, you know what? I've always wondered where I belonged. I'm a black woman. And search for what church I'm supposed to be in. I am supposed to be in a black church. I loved it. I absolutely, because we got in it. We entered into it, and we made confession. Yes. If the pastor was saying something we believed to be true, we were leaning into it. We didn't just sit and smile. And listen, we got our word. Yeah. By the time we went, I mean, we were like, yeah. I mean, we would stay for hours. Hours. Why? Because we were caught up. We were not bored, because we were on our feet. Agreeing with the scriptures. Powerful. Powerful.
Oh, Beth, you are really something. We had just recently in church, Robert preached on grace. He's preaching a series on it, Robert Morris, Gateway. And he closed with the story of the dad that pushed this little boy that had been born with brain damage, could not walk, could not do anything, but dad let him run in a triathlon by him pulling him in a little boat raft, putting him in a basket on the bicycle, pulling him in a boat behind the raft, and also every single thing he did, he had that little boy on his back carrying him. And I wept. I mean, I literally... there in church has reached up to the Father that's carried me all my life. I know that. That's grace. And that's the Father wants to carry you. And Betty, it's the Father that wants through us to reach out with hands of love. And just like this, when I reach down and pick up this old can and then these bowls that love gave to replace cans and plastic bags, with desperately hungry children, knowing they could get something of nourishment, but they had to bring something to put it in. And our viewer said, give them heat-resistant bowls. And you did. But you didn't give them empty bowls. And now then, we've had something wonderful happen. And I want you to see the need that love's about to meet, where we get to put the arms of God out. And I want you to listen to the heart of God. And then say, okay, God, everything you put on my heart to do is going to be doubled. Because other people caught the vision of putting your arms around a hurting family, a hurting child. Watch closely.
It's something you hear about, but it's something you don't see every day. This precious little child fighting for her life with every breath that she tries to take. I can hear it. She is literally dying in front of our eyes. Not because of a disease, not because of a virus, but because she has no food. Her body is frail, she's breaking down. She's fighting right now to live. Just one bowl of food a day could have kept this little child from being in this bed in this moment. It amazes me and it blows me away to think that it's that simple. But there is something that we can do. But if we don't, then we'll see hundreds of thousands of more children just like this because of malnutrition.
I know you could hear the child trying to get a breath. Just weak, not disease there. Hungry. I said hungry. Starving. That's real poverty. That's undeniable need, but this is a need that can be met effectively. Food. Nourishment. That we will put in a heat-resistant bowl that you, the viewers, years ago said, don't let those kids bring tin cans and plastic bags that the food just burns through. We want to give them a bowl. The missionary said, no, we got to feed them. These kids are starving. We don't care what they come. And the viewers said, no, to the missionaries. No, we want to give them the bowls. That's called love. And so what I'm asking you to do now is, I'm asking you to respond to the love of God, but I'm asking you to take advantage of the love of God expressed through some of our friends who know the need is so great in drought-stricken Angola and other places, and the children are dying because they didn't have a food line, and the missionaries have found the place to feed them to stop this process, but we need the food. And some of our wonderful friends said, well, we'll give a matching gift of $1.5 million. That's how desperate it is, and we'll do it. But we want to ask everyone who's watching to give the largest gift they can. We'll match it. This is the largest challenge gift like that we've ever had for a feeding program. I mean, this is basically a cash gift to match what you give. So here's what I want to ask you to do. It's a miracle. Stop that cycle. See those mothers' tears wiped away and children saved and have a future. I want you to reach out and touch someone literally with the love of God. Go and get your checkbook or your bank card and dial the number there that's a prayer line for people who have a broken heart or need prayer. Always there. And at least 80% of the calls that come in, no matter how desperate the need, are always people calling, pray for me. And you better believe it will, because the call's paid for by love. We want to help you. But I'm asking you to reach out today, and if you could make a $100 gift, we can feed 10 children for the next month, but now it'll be 20. 30, 50, 100 feeds 3, 5, or 10, but it'll be doubled to 6, to 10, and 20. If you could possibly give $1,000, it'll not just feed 100, but 200. And we have some beautiful gifts we want to send you. But the greatest gift is what you're going to be doing for these families and these children. And you're going to be expressing the love of God, because I'm going to tell you something. These missionaries are going to let these people know the source of that love. It's God. It's Jesus. And they're going to show it in deed, not just word, in action. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can make your gift online. And many people do that now. And we thank you.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $1.5 million matching gift challenge for Mission Feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed 3 children will be doubled to impact 6 children. $50 to help feed 5 children will be doubled to help save 10 children. $100 for 10 children will be doubled to help feed 20 children. And $300 for 30 children will be doubled to help feed and minister to 60 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a daily devotional with an inspirational music CD. With your double impact gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Larger Print Reference Bible. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 and request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
I really pray that you will. If there's any way you could give $1,000 to help 100 children, knowing it'd be 200, do it. And, you know, we're going to send you the beautiful art piece, The Blessing. But this Bible is so, it's just really such a treasure, the devotional book. But here's the deal. If there's any way you could give $100 to help us feed 10, now 20, please do it. I mean, just whatever you can do. And let's get some feet dancing in the desert over there in all the different areas of Africa where there's so much misery, okay? Thank you for helping. Thank all of you.
That calling is nothing more than when your talents and your burdens collide.
Author Rebecca Lyons describes her journey toward a life of meaning. Tomorrow, Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.